The custom of observing a moment of silence before an athletic event to honor dead people strikes me as meaningless and arbitrary, because if you'll notice, only certain people get this special treatment. It's highly selective. Therefore, I've decided that someday, when the time comes that every single person in the world who dies receives a moment of silence, I will begin paying attention. Until then, count me out. It's ridiculous. Here's what I mean. Let's say you live in Cleveland and you decide to go to the Browns game. There you are in the football stadium with a hot dog and a beer, ready to enjoy the action, and a somber-sounding public address announcer interrupts the festivities, intoning darkly, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, we ask that you remove your hats and join us in observing a moment of silence for the 43 unattractive, mentally retarded, overweight Bolivian dance instructors who lost their lives this morning in a roller coaster accident at an amusement park near La Paz. Apparently, they all stood up on a sharp turn and went flying off, willy-nilly, into the cool, crisp morning La Paz air, and, being heavier than air, crashed through the roof of the funhouse, landing on several clowns, killing them all and crushing their red noses beyond recognition." Snickering is heard in the crowd. The American announcer continues. "And ladies and gentlemen, lest you think this amusing, lest you think this a time for laughter, I ask you please, please, to put yourself in the place of a bereaved Bolivian who may be seated near you this afternoon. Try reversing places. Imagine yourself visiting Bolivia and taking in a soccer game. Imagine yourself seated in the stadium with a burrito and a cerveza, ready to enjoy the action, and a somber-sounding Spanish public address announcer interrupts the festivities, intoning darkly, 'Señores and señoritas, we ask that you remove your sombreros and join us in observing un momento de silencio for the 43 mentally retarded, overweight, unattractive American meat inspectors who lost their lives this morning in a Ferris wheel accident at a carnival near Ashtabula, Ohio.'" The Spanish announcer continues. "Apparently, the huge wheel flew out of control, spinning madly, flinging the poor meat inspectors off willy-nilly into the hot, humid Midwestern air. And being heavier than air, they crashed through the roof of the carnival freak show, crushing the dog-faced boy and destroying many of his chew toys." And let's say as you sit there in La Paz listening to this, you find yourself seated next to some Bolivian smartass who's giggling and poking his friend in the ribs. May I suggest you'd be highly pissed at this lack of respect for Americans? And might I add, rightly so. And so, ladies and gentlemen, considering the many grieving Bolivians who may be seated among you today, and trying to keep in check that normal human impulse to laugh heartily when another person dies, let us try again, really hard this time, to observe a moment of silence for the 43 unattractive, mentally retarded, overweight Bolivian dance instructors who went flying willy-nilly off the roller coaster in La Paz, not to mention the poor unsuspecting clowns who at that time were innocently filling their water pistols. You can see the problem either announcer would face. The fans would simply not be able to get into it. But I understand that. I can empathize with the fans, because frankly, I don't know what to do during a moment of silence either. Do you? What are you supposed to do? What do they expect? Do they want us to pray? They don't say that. If they want me to pray, they should ask. I'll pray, but at least have the courtesy to make a formal request. But no, they offer no guidance, no instruction at all. I honestly don't know what to do. Sometimes I resort to evil thoughts. I wish my seatmates ill fortune in days to come. I fantasize about sitting naked in front of the Lincoln Memorial and becoming sexually aroused. I picture thousands of penguins being hacked to death by boatloads of graduate students. More often, though, I wind up bored silly, searching for something to occupy my thoughts. One time I inventoried the pimples on the neck of the man in front of me, hoping to find one with a hair growing through it so I could quietly pluck it out during the confusion of halftime. On a happier occasion, I once found myself staring at the huge but perfectly formed breasts of the woman to my left, her fleshy mounds rising and falling softly in the late October sun, and my thoughts turned tenderly romantic. Holy shit, look at the fucking knobs on her! Great fucking knobs. I think I'm going to go to the refreshment stand, buy myself a weenie, and hide it in my pants. Then, during halftime, I'm going to whip out the weenie and force her to watch while I eat the bun and stuff the weenie up my... Nah. She's probably one of them uptight chicks who think I'm weird. She doesn't know the problem is I'm shy. Those are my thoughts, and I can't help it. During a moment of silence, my imagination runs away with me. I don't know what to do. And why is it silence they're looking for? What good is silence? The ones being remembered are already dead. They're not going to wake up now. Why not a moment of screaming? Wouldn't that be more appropriate for dead people? Wouldn't you like to hear 60,000 fans screaming? Ah! It sure would put me in the mood for football. And one more criticism. Why honor only the dead? Why this favoritism? Why not the injured as well? There are always more injured than there are dead in any decent tragedy. What about them? And what about those who aren't dead or injured, but are simply treated and released? How about, if not silence, at least a moment of muffled conversation for those who were treated and released? It's an honorable condition. Personally, I've always wanted to be treated and released. Usually I'm treated and detained. Perhaps it's for the best.